relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today. Car Firearms is fighting for America. Car executives stand with America First and are willing to put their brand's reputation on the line to stand up for liberty. Please support our Second Amendment Friday sponsor, Car Firearms. I carry a 9mm car most days. That's KAHR.com. Check out their amazing line of U.S.-made firearms. That's KAHR.com, Car Firearms. It is Friday. It's Second Amendment Friday. It's Ask Dr. G Anything Friday. We're going to talk national security with Jim Carafano of the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk guns this hour. Congressman Andy Biggs in the last hour of the show. And the Baron Boris Epstein. But now a man who's one of the hardest people to get on the show. Why? Because he's got a job to do fighting the swamp he reaches, uncovering the depth, the breadth of the corruption in the swamp. He is truth teller extraordinaire Peter Schweitzer. He is, of course, the head of the Government Accountability Institute, author of amazing works like Clinton Cash and most recently Profiles of Corruption. Peter, welcome back to America First.
It's always great to be with you, Seb, my old friend. How are you doing?
Good. But I'm going to be a little bit rude now. I'm going to take up 20 seconds of our interview by reading three sentences from a new report that I'd just like you to comment on, Peter. This is from Emma Colton, FoxNews.com. The federal prosecutor investigating Hunter Biden's taxes reportedly waited until after the election to seek search warrants, which stalled the public from finding out about the probe. Delaware's U.S. Attorney David Weiss began his probe into the president's son in 2018, but decided last summer to hold off on seeking warrants or issuing a grand jury subpoena in a bid not to let the public know what was happening. Last sentence, which of course illustrates the depth of the swamp, Peter. Vice is a Republican who was appointed during the Trump administration. Your reaction, Peter Schweitzer?
You know, Seb, this is the way they handle all investigations, right? I mean, there are never leaks. There are never announcements.
No, they always wait a year with Roger Stone. They always wait a year or 2 years with Paul Manafort or General Flynn. They wait. They don't leak it to the Washington Post as it's happening.
Never.
No.
Never. That never happens. I mean, and this illustrates the point that you know, I want to believe that still a majority of Americans hold to, is that people are just looking for consistency. They're looking for a consistent standard. If you're going to do the sorts of things you did in the Roger Stone case, then just be consistent when it applies to other people. The problem is that's not what we have. We are increasingly a country that has a justice system that has different standards for insiders than for outsiders. And if you are in a position of you know, political power, political influence, it seems to matter whether you have a D or an R after your name. I never thought I would find myself saying that, but that's what the evidence before us shows. And it's tragic, because once we lose that sense that Lady Justice is blind, you know, she's meeting out justice and she's got her eyes covered because it's about the crime and the evidence, not the man. Once we lose that, it undermines this wonderful system of justice that we've had that's not perfect, but is the best in the world. And that is, I fear, what has happened.
So let me ask you the question. We don't rehearse any of this. We don't do like other shows where we send out the questions in advance. We don't do that. This is real. This is live. And this may be impolitic, but it's really the burning question for me. And I consider you a friend, and I consider you to be a great patriot. Aren't you... How do you manage to keep on doing what you do, Peter, when you realize the depth of the corruption and the fact that there's just as much corruption on both sides of the aisle?
Great question, Seb. And I guess what I would say is, what other choice do I have?
Yeah.
I mean, if I love my country, you love your country, there are millions upon millions of people that do. You can respond to the opposition. You can respond to the corruption by either getting discouraged, getting angry and saying things can't change, or you can say, you know, I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing and I'm going to fight harder. And, you know, in a way, you know, I would say that what we try to do, it's a little bit like what Paul Revere did, right? He alerted people to the pending threat. Now, it was not up to Paul Revere to make sure that the Continental Army was ready, and that his job was to alert and then to allow patriots, to do what they could do to protect the country. And that's kind of the situation that we're in. So is it discouraging? Absolutely. But we are going to continue to fight. And if we go down, we're going to go down fighting.
Yeah, we're going to go down standing on a pile of brass casings. That's my promise to my fellow patriots. He is the president of the incredible Government Accountability Institute. Any book he's written is worth your while, especially Clinton Cash and most recently Profiles in Corruption. Follow him at Peter Schweizer on Twitter. That's S-C-H-W-E-I-Z-E-R, Peter Schweizer. Peter, I don't do devil's advocate, but let me put it thusly. What is your response to those, and maybe what we can say Democrat voters or just the apolitical, who say, why can't you leave this Hunter Biden thing alone? He's not a he's not a politician. He doesn't work for the government. He may be a wretched, sad guy, but it's irrelevant to the political plight of America.
Well, it's because, as I wrote in a 2018 book that was called Secret Empires, and it looked at Republicans and Democrats, that corruption in America is increasingly being offshored. And what do I mean by offshored? Two things. Number one, you know, the days in which a congressman or a senator or some political figure takes money in a shoebox and hides it somewhere, that's the old unsophisticated way of getting paid. What you do now is you set up a family member. A family member cashes in, so it's sort of offshore. They're getting paid, and you're ultimately going to benefit, and we're going to show how Joe Biden is benefiting from Hunter Biden's work. But you offshore it. So that's the first point. The activities that Hunter Biden is engaged in and the enrichment that has taken place from foreign oligarchs is absolutely bound and connected with superglue to the fact that his father is in politics. You cannot separate them. But the second reason, Seb, is that the kind of corruption we're dealing with, you know, we're all used to, and I'm not saying it's a good thing, it's just you get used to, you know, the old corruption where somebody who has a paving company, you know, gets a contract because, you know, his cousin sits on the county council. That's the kind of corruption we're used to. It's bad and it's wrong. But what we're dealing with here is globalized corruption. Everybody talks about how we have a global economy. You have globalists who want to have a internationally governed planet. Well, corruption has been globalized, too. And what that means is we're not talking about Hunter Biden getting payoffs from somebody on Wall Street or from an oil company in Houston or you know, some law firm in Los Angeles. We're talking about the president of the United States and his family getting deals from our adversaries and rivals on the global stage.
So let me just
why are they doing that?
Yeah, and let me run this one past you. So my radio buddy Chris Plant has coined the phrase the art show loophole. the idea that this crack smoking quote unquote painter called Hunter Biden is now being paid $500,000 for his quote unquote paintings, but it's okay because nobody knows the identity of the people buying these garbage quote unquote pieces of art. Isn't that just graft and corruption using fake paintings?
Absolutely, Sab. And I mean, here's the thing. You probably thought you would never hear me say this, but I give Bill and Hillary Clinton some credit because when Bill Clinton left the White House and his wife was in the Senate, became Secretary of State, they said, you know what? We're going to go and we're going to rake in all this foreign money, but we're going to at least disclose who's paying Bill to give these high paid speeches. And they did, to their credit. Now, they missed some, which was a problem. But the point is, they did disclose it. The Biden approach on these paintings is exactly the opposite.
Yes.
Which is, we're going to deal with it ethically by not telling you who's buying it. And just trust us, we're going to make sure things go okay.
Is it Vladimir Putin? Is it an Iranian mullah? Is it Xi Jinping? Is it a member of the Mexican cartels? Oh, don't worry, you won't know. Therefore, it's purely ethical, not a problem. It is the art show loophole. Chris Plant is right. Find out the depth of the corruption. As Peter says, what else are we going to do? We're going to keep on fighting whatever it takes. He is the president of the Government Accountability Institute. The latest book is Profiles in Corruption. A nice choice of title given the connection to JFK. Follow him on Twitter. Keep doing what you do. God bless, Peter. Can't wait for the next book. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Next, it's National Security and Foreign Policy with the one and only Jim Carafano. Relief Factor. If you're in daily pain and have tried everything else only to fail to find relief, please try this incredible drug-free product that relieved me after 9 years, almost a decade of my lower back pain. But it's not just me, it's people like Leah from Ohio. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain, I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions, in 8 days, I found relief, only to get better and better. I am a believer, 100%. Incredible stories. See the amazing video testimonials at relieffactor.com and then find out for yourself by ordering the three-week quick starter pack. Call 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Leah, and thousands of your fellow Americans. That's Dr. G's guarantee. Don't wait any longer. You know it makes sense. What have you got to lose? Except for the pain. $19.95 translates to less than a dollar a day. What can you get for less than a dollar a day? I tell you what, potential liberation from your pain. Do it today. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com.
Listening to America First with the indispensable immigrant, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
I like that. Indispensable nation, indispensable immigrant. Welcome back, dear friends. Car Firearms is fighting for America. Cars executives stand with America First and are willing to put their brand's reputation on the line to stand up for liberty. Please support our new Second Amendment Friday sponsor, Car Firearms, U.S.-made firearms. Check out their amazing line of products, KAHR.com. That's KAHR.com. It's Friday. It's time to talk national security with the man who knows it all. He is the vice president of the Heritage Foundation for Matters Foreign Policy et al., and he is Jim Carafano. Follow him, JJ Carafano, on Twitter. Jim, welcome back in studio.
So, you know, I'm an immigrant.
You've been an immigrant?
I'm an immigrant.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I moved from the South Bronx to Long Island.
Did you have to do it illegally? Did you have to cross a river?
We got on covered wagons and...
You know, I think was it scary? Was it a scary journey?
I think I walked barefoot the entire way.
You look good for it.
Yeah,
you look good for
could
it.
Could see the Statue of Liberty in the background as I trudged out to the plains of Long Island to build a log cabin.
Somehow I think he's not exactly telling the truth.
Speaking of not telling the truth.
Yes.
Let's talk about border security.
Let's talk about first. Nice segue. That was very slick, but I'm going to counter that. Okay. We'll talk border security in the next segment. Let's talk about, I'm sure you've got strong opinions on this, lots of reports about what Mark Milley did or didn't say as chairman of the Joint Chiefs, blocking somebody's nomination to be director of the CIA, talking about some Kristallnacht or Reichstag moment that Donald Trump was engineering. At this point, as the most senior military officer in the United States, wouldn't you expect a statement of, no, I didn't say it, or yes, I did, Jim?
Yeah, you know, so just a little context on why this is actually kind of a really important moment, and that is there are so many issues bubbling up on what's called civil-military relations. I mean, something you know a lot about teaching years in military schools, but this is what's the appropriate behavior of military officers to their civilian leaders. Because under the Constitution, it's clearly defined that civilian officials have authority over the U.S. military, but that the U.S. military fundamentally has an obligation to the Constitution to provide selfless service to their nation.
And then we have that very unusual position, which is different elsewhere, where the chief guy in uniform is often a commander. Here, he's not.
Right.
He has an advisorial position by the Constitution. He advises the president.
The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff doesn't command anything, right? The command authority goes from the president to the Secretary of Defense, to the service chiefs for the Pentagon, to
the
commanders in the field.
Right.
There are so many issues where civil-military relations are really almost, and you know, I've been doing this forever. I haven't seen anything like this since the 1970s, since the post-Vietnam era, when the popularity of the military was in the nadir. You know, we just came out of the draft. The military was in horrible shape. People accused leaders of careerism. It was just a awful, terrible time. And I thought, well, I've never – and, of course, then we had the Reagan military built up, the resurgence of respect for the military. And then we have ups and downs. Trump had some – look, honestly, every president's had them if you look. You know, we've had, you know, from the firing of MacArthur to the revolt of the general. So it's not unusual for there to be bumps in the road. But a consistent concern about, is our military healthy? Are leaders selfless? Are political leaders not overly interfering? I haven't seen anything like this. So we have
go ahead.
Transgender policy.
Yeah.
And we whipsaw between Trump and Biden. Now, is that because we got different information or the politics just widely different, right? Woke, teaching critical race theory in the military, telling soldiers that they're inherently racist and that there are other soldiers that feel uncomfortable around them. Sexual violence, a lot of dispute about how to handle that. People wanting to totally redo the chain of command on how those issues are handled.
And what about this? It seems a tactical story, but I think it really illustrates this persistent tension that you're trying to highlight. This story from this Texas U.S. Army base, where the local commander emails have now been leaked, where they are staging these illegal immigrants in a U.S. Army facility, and the commander is ordering his subordinates, you must not take photographs, you mustn't talk about the illegal immigrants on this base. That's not good for the health of this civilian control of the military or esprit de corps, is it, Jim?
Yeah, and in a sense, ordering people to lie?
Yes.
For is there a military purpose for that, or is it
or
just...
Or is it political?
Or is it just political? So you add all these things together, and this is some enormous tension here. And so now we have this story breaking where literally the claim in the book... Well, here, first of all, we haven't even seen the book,
the book,
right? So it's a claim which is allegedly in the book,
yeah,
which is about a conversation which allegedly actually took place where the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff basically insinuates that the president of the United States was planning a military coup.
Yeah.
You would think if you were the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and this news broke everywhere, and this is a pretty sensitive issue and a pretty sensitive comment, and I think people on the left and right both would have a lot of questions and concerns and issues on this, maybe for different reasons, but they would. You would think there would be a clarifying comment from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And we're now over 24 hours into the story, and we have had silence. So you would think from the White House, they're like, no, don't say anything, because we want people to believe that Donald Trump wanted a coup against America. So if it's a lie, don't say anything. Right? But on the other hand, if you didn't say it, why would you just say, hey, I didn't say that? And if you did say it, why wouldn't you clarify and exactly what you meant? And the thing is if you really thought Donald Trump was planning a coup in the United States, why wouldn't you resign?
You should
on
have.
That day?
Exactly. If you had honor, if it really happened. But you made the point before we came on air that he's still the chairman, and he's going to have to testify at some point on some issue.
Yeah, I mean, he's never going to.
He's not going to swim past this question the next time he's on Capitol Hill, right,
exactly.
Jim?
Right.
Somebody's going to ask
him. Right. And so you just wonder, like, why wouldn't you come out and say, well, this is what I believe. I think it really raises issue of loyalty, of appropriate military conduct and behavior. When you add on top of this, another concern is we want to take out extremists in the military, and then we're hiring people who are clearly political hacks to be in charge of hunting down extremists in the military. It looks an awful like political persecution of people in the rank and files. And on top of that, you know, we have this report that Tom Cotton and Dan Crenshaw and a few others sponsored.
That naval report.
And basically looking at interviewing a whole bunch of people in the Navy and saying, people are distracted. They're not focused on their job. They're worried about officers being risk averse. They're worried. They're doing bureaucracy. They're not focused on the warfighting task. And this was the great challenge in the 70s, is we weren't focused on the mission of providing for the common defense of the American people. We were doing all this other, you know, kind of busy work. And there's two sins there. On the one hand, look, we understand you go from one president to next, policies change. We get that. The Pentagon, we changed the slides.
You know? Right.
But political interference in a military activities and driving political agendas, that is beyond the pale. And conversely, military officers standing by and either abetting that or watching it happen and not standing up against it, also not good.
Not good. We shall continue with the Vice President of the Conservative Mothership. Join today, heritage.org. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.
News and talk radio is still really popular, even in the internet age. What you are about to hear them say is mind-boggling.
Here's looking at you, Snowflake. America first.
We're here to boggle his little mind. Sorry, Stealthy, it's far too easy. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. If you enjoy this show, if you want to get a good night's sleep, do what I do. Do what President Trump does. Use one of Mike Lindell's My Pillows, the pillow that never gets hot, never loses shape. 51 million sold. They're that good. Guaranteed for 10 years. Another 100 amazing items on his webpage. He's being boycotted by the cancel culture left. Support this great patriot. Use my name, and Mike's going to give you up to 66% off. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Gorka. Call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. We are back with James Carafano. Follow him, JJ Carafano, on Twitter, Vice President of the Conservative Mothership, the Heritage Foundation. Join today, heritage.org. You did a very neat segue in the last segment when you're talking about lies and mathematics and figures. Astounding figures being released today for the fiscal year in terms of engagement with illegals crossing the border. Tell us what's going on, Jim.
Well, if the number is almost 200,000, it's historically unprecedented. We've already had, you know, a few months ago when I was
2 million.
When I was on this program,
yeah,
a few months ago, and I was sounding the alarm. I think one of the first, actually, right, to say this administration was going to have open borders policy, it was going to be a disaster. Yeah. My idea was scary, was 1 million by the end of the year.
Right.
We've blown through that. Or as the president would say. No, look, but here's the deal. Talk about lies. The president lied to the American people. He looked everyone in the eye and said, this is a seasonal problem. And every pundit on the left, on every talk show, repeated that exact same line. And every interviewer said, oh, yeah, right. Thank you. Seasonal problem. Right. He knew it was a lie when he said it. We are actually into the season when normally things would actually slack a bit because it's so dangerous and hot in the desert.
Yes.
So the president looked us in the eye and he lied to the American people saying, don't worry, it's not a problem. Like inflation, it's a spike thing. It'll go away.
Right.
It was a lie. The Secretary of Homeland Security lied to the American people. He said the border is closed, which I suppose technically, because if you're a tourist and you want to cross the border, no, you can't. But literally, tens of thousands of people walk across that border every week, handing money hand over fist to the cartels to do it. He knew it was a lie when he said the border was closed. He knew it was a misstatement, a misjudgment. He said it anyway.
So I have to ask you also, on top of the lies about this being seasonal and everything else, just what we've seen in the last week with reference to Cuba, that a man who came here at the age of one as a Cuban refugee, who's now a cabinet member responsible for immigration and the border security, saying, as we have 6,000 illegals crossing the southern physical border every single day, telling Cubans, no, don't you dare come here. How do we... What jigsaw puzzle is this?
No, I mean, it does seem bizarre, right? Look, I am sympathetic that we should say no to a boat lift. First of all, it is incredibly dangerous. It's hurricane season. It's 90 miles. Those boats aren't safe. People don't have life.
But you made the point. Crossing the southern border is dangerous.
That is just as dangerous. Right. So they're both dangerous. They're both a bad idea, right? Plus, the idea of... The Cubans literally expelling people from their country, which is something Saddam Hussein did. This is kind of an international crime to throw citizens out of your country. So the Cubans using a boat lift to get rid of their dissidents, that's a bad idea. I don't take issue with that, but it's completely inconsistent. And then to me saying, if you try to come here, we will send you to a third country. Oh my God, that was Trump's policy. And both Mayorkas and the vice president, the president looked every American in the eye and said, that is a human rights violation. That is a humanitarian
racist
catastrophe.
Right.
And then they turned right around and said, oh, yeah, and we're going to implement the exact same policy. So I don't know what to say. They are lying to the American people on this issue, and they've been doing it consistently for every day. And Mayorkas knows better. He was in the Obama administration. He's a professional. He knows how this is supposed to run. I think the only answer is Susan Rice is running this country. Susan Rice is giving people order. These cabinet officials are just doing what they're told.
Yeah.
And then whether you're the president or the vice president or a cabinet official, and it's stupid, you just make up some spin and say it with a straight face and move on.
Yeah, it's seasonal. Thank you, Jim, and the rest of your team, Mark Morgan and everybody else, because you are keeping their feet to the fire. At least you are telling the truth about it's not a crisis anymore. It's a catastrophe on the southern border. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios.
This is Second Amendment Friday on America First, brought to you by Carr Firearms.
Complacency is a weakness that patriots cannot afford. For this reason, Carr Firearms is teaming up with America First in 2021. Carr believes Americans shouldn't be afraid to publicly stand up for our freedoms. This is about more than being gun enthusiasts. This has become a very personal issue, struggling for the soul of America. Carr wants America First listeners to know that they are not afraid to publicly support Second Amendment Friday. Check out their amazing line of U.S.-made firearms. I carry a 9mm car myself at kahr.com. That's kahr.com. Very excited for our current guest. He's a new guest. He produces a weapon I am massively fond of. And I've just found out, as we were prepping to come on air, not only does he make one of the coolest guns out there, he's also a massive Star Wars fan. Tommy Bostick of Tommy Built. Welcome to America First.
I appreciate it.
So, Tommy, you produce here in America a civilian version of one of the coolest. If you're watching a spy thriller, even a science fiction thriller, you'll see this weapon in its fully automatic version everywhere on the big screen. It's the G-36. How did you end up making a civilian version here in America of perhaps one of the sexiest Heckler & Koch weapons ever?
Well, it kind of was just because I wanted one and you couldn't have one. You know, AK doesn't really make a civilian version. So, when I first saw it with the K with that dual optic carry handle, I was like, whatever the space gun is, I need that. Like, how do you get that? And so I did a bunch of digging and realized there is no way to get that. And the SL-8 rifle was probably the closest to it. It shares a few things, totally
right.
Different.
Right, so I had an SL-8 in the 90s. It's the super civilianized version with an ugly thumb hole stock. It's a light gray color, super ugly. But originally, that's the closest you could get to one of the 36s, correct?
Exactly. Yep, that was the closest you could get. They share a lot of the same things. I mean, the barrels, the top rails, there are some similarities there. They share some parts, but it was just so far off from a 36, it wasn't a thing. So a guy had started making a kit that kind of bolted up to give you that look, but it just there's no way because of the size of the receiver and where everything was designed and put, you just couldn't make it the same. So I eventually got a hold of a D-Mil G-36, and I got the rear receiver part with the hinge, and I started kind of cutting my gun up and said, I'm just going to make this thing work. I'm just going to figure it out.
So hang on. Let's stop here for a second. Okay, Tommy Built Tactical is the website. Check it out. Fabulous weapons. I got multiples myself. That's Tommy Built with a T, TommyBuiltTactical.com. What is your background? What put you in a position to just kind of reverse engineer it?
I really automotive background. I worked in a lot of, just automotive stuff in general, just working on cars. And a lot of my guys, I had a car shop that we did like car stereo and fabrication stuff and car customizing. And so I'd always been an HK fan and had all sorts of HK stuff. And when I, when this came around, I was like, I got to figure out how to make this. And so I had fixed enough broken plastic panels and other things to finally, I only want this as a G-36. I don't care about it as an SL-8. So I'm willing to cut a $1,500 gun to figure out if I can make it work. And I've cut up enough stuff, and I thought about it and planned it enough that I knew I'd be able to make it work somehow. And it took a little bit, and I kind of tinkered with it, and I finally got it pretty much identical on the outside, to a G-36, and was able to, do a handful of them. From there, as soon as I posted pictures of it, I had everybody, in the HK world was like, how do I do that? And so within about a year or so, it became a job.
And now you sell them. I've bought them. They're amazing. Tell us how popular this U.S. made G-36 has been, or T-36.
It's been insane. I never thought we would, I'd be making the full, firearm. I just was doing conversions. I wanted something I couldn't have, and it wasn't planned to be a job at all. It was just, I wanted to have something cool, and I did. And then it became, SL-8s, they stopped importing them around 2010 or so. And so they were kind of, the prices went way up and everybody was wanting them and wanting to do conversions, but, parts were drying up and guns were drying up. And so, kind of escalated to the point where I was like, I can, do this and do that, maybe get some parts for, maybe make a few parts. And then I started dabbling in that world. And then, next thing I know, the opportunity came up for us to, manufacture, tooling and receiver. And then at that point, I was like, well, it'll either work or it won't. I think there's a market for it. I'm not into that end of the manufacturing world, but I've done enough stuff where I think I can make it happen. I know certainly, thousands of them. So I know a lot about the platform. And so we jumped in and did it. And, it has been nonstop ever since. I mean, I can't keep anything in stock.
And the market is still crazy, correct?
The market is still crazy. Literally, we can build about 100 guns a month, and that's, it's still kind of, I'm small business. I'm not some big giant manufacturer that has tons of employees and all sorts of other things to sell. I sell pretty much two products, and it's tough to keep up with them. And I can tell you, I'll put up 50 guns and they'll be gone off my website in 25 minutes. I mean, it is just insane.
It's that good.
And I got lots of guys that want pre-orders, and for me, I would just rather sell what I have in stock and not take people's money to hang out and promise something at some point. So
But it's a house. It is a higher, it is a more expensive gun. It is kind of a niche product gun, just because of it's not like a $800 AR. I mean, these are kind of on the same level cost wise as like the BNTs or the a SCAR or 416 or MR556 or one of those. So it's up there. So there's not tons of sales in that category all the time, I would say.
It's up there in the price category, but it's cooler than all of those weapons. Check it out.
I agree.
He's Tommy Bostick. He just wanted one of those cool guns, and he said, I'm going to make it. And he did. Follow him on Twitter at Tommy Built and check out these incredible U.S. made versions, civilian versions of the G36. Well, he's Tommy, so it's the T36 at TommyBuilt.com. God bless you, Tommy. I'll be in touch. Stay on the line. I got a question to ask you in the break. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, taking your calls and guest Congressman Andy Biggs next, and then the Baron. If you call us, please ensure me you're not talking on a mobile phone connected to one of the big providers, because they're not on your side. They're not conservatives, and they fund things you hate, like Planned Parenthood. Go with the only conservative Christian cell phone company, Patriot Mobile. They're on your side. They've proven that they deserve your trust. They've donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to causes you care about, like the Second Amendment, like the First Amendment, like pro-life. And right now, if you switch your carrier, you can keep your phone number. It's okay. You'll get 50% off your first 2 months or $100 off any phone in stock with a one-year commitment and free premier activation either way on top of all the initial discounts. They have packages to fit any budget. Amazing US-based team. Join today. Call 972-PATRIOT or go to patriotmobile.com/GORKA. Now more than ever, conservatives have to stick together, and don't fund the bad guys. Every time you make a call or send a text, join the good guys. 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-728-7468. PatriotMobile.com/GORKA. That's PatriotMobile.com/Gorka. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, stay on this channel.
What was America looking for?
January 1st, 2019, looking for a rerun. Like, what's going to be the best rerun? Right up at 2 o'clock, right the minute your show starts the first day on the air. And I haven't gone back to any of those other shows since.
Radio Impact.
Sebastian Gorka.
Mr. G's digging through the archives. What a fabulous call. We need more of that. Hey, Jeff, we are got so heavy on guests today. What a fabulous Friday. What cuts must we play before we leave this second hour? Do you think it's a time for some Abilio?
Let's get you. You're in too good of a mood.
He wants to subvert my mood, even though it's a Friday. Let's go to that man who's, ashamed of his Cuban heritage because his name isn't Jim. He was born Abilio, and he's losing it. Cut 9.
Donald Trump committed crimes on the way to January 6th. Is anything going to be done about it? Why have we not had this conversation in this country? I think it's a critical question, Chris, whether or not the former president of the United States belongs in the slammer for what he did between the election and January 6th. General Milley appears to have put his finger on a very big problem, and that is that Donald Trump was behaving like an Adolf Hitler.
Committed crimes, should be in the slammer, and was like Adolf Hitler. You made a point when you played that cut to me earlier, Jeff. What he's obsessed with something, isn't he?
Every time he talks, it's about Donald Trump, no matter what, when he does a hit. His show is even about that. That is horrible. His show's terrible.
Do you think he's a member of QAnon? Does he think that Trump is still president?
Maybe he does. I think he would love. I think that he would love it more than the Q people if Trump came back.
Oh. Hey, Abilio, are you a member of QAnon? Do you believe that President Trump is still secretly President Trump and he's going to come back? Is that why you cannot discuss anything? That's why you're the producer. You step into the breach. How bad is his show, Jeff?
That right there, it was a hit. He's okay as a guest of that. I'm talking about delivery style.
His show.
Yes, but I'm saying that's him, how he can talk normal as a guest. His show hosting is so bad. I sent you some of the clips. He talks so slow. He doesn't move around because he still thinks he's a reporter. There's nothing into it. It is terrible. Everybody should actually watch just one of his monologues because they are horrible. And it's once a week. He should practice during the week. Get a little bit better.
Hang on. It's once a week?
Oh, yeah. It's one day a week. Yeah.
You know what? We got to find his email. You're so good at finding everybody's email. Let's send him clips of my weekly show on Newsmax.
Oh, I have his email. I already did that. I haven't sent him yet, but I've already found his email.
Okay. Let's put subject line, Dear Abilio, and let's send him the video links and say, we see you're having a little bit of trouble. Seb, Dr. G's got a weekly show as well. Maybe you should watch a little of it.
And this is how you do a show after I've already done 15 hours a week of radio.
Is that all he does?
He does a couple of hits there. He's not the reporter anymore.
He's a couple of guest hits and a weekly show.
That's it.
You're funny, Abilio. Stay here, guys.